Hey Songtown, I'm Clay Mills here with Marty Dotson. Today we've got five ways to make your songs hit harder using contrast.
Come on.
You want to kick it off?
I'll do it. Number one is just contrasting ideas lyrically. So your song, Beautiful Mess, you don't usually think of those two words together. Or Luke Combs had a song, I think, called Beautiful Crazy. So combining words that don't usually go together can provide an interesting contrast. There was a song, Nobody in His Right Mind Would Have Left Her. So they're using the contrast of left and right in a funny or interesting way. Another one was, If I Said You Had a Beautiful Body, Would You Hold It Against Me?
So what's contrasting about that? Like, I get Beautiful Mess. Like, those are kind of opposites. But If I Said You Had a Beautiful Body, Would You Hold? That's a different thing. What?
Well, it's still a contrasting idea because you're using Would You Hold It Against Me in a different way.
In two different ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, would you be offended or would you literally put your body against me?
Oh, right. So there's two, that one sentence gives you two different ideas at the same time, two right. contrasting ideas.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you're using the contrast of the double meanings of Hold It Against Me.
Which is kind of popular in those clever, funny songs like
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the like things like Beautiful Mess, I think those tend to be less comical like some of those other ones. You know, so it's a different type of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah. What's number two?
Melody note lengths.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just demonstrate. Throw me out a lyric line.
I can't go home anymore.
Okay, so if we're playing a song, we're writing a song today, and I'm going to come up. I can't go home anymore. I can't go back through that door. I can't a song. I can't go home anymore. So instantly, that's just a run of like fast-paced notes, a bunch of short notes. A whole song of that would start to get annoying.
Yeah.
So I always like to introduce long notes into the equation. And I can't believe, I think a lot of singers and a lot of songwriters are like, I don't feel comfortable holding out those long notes because I'm not like the world's greatest singer. But I think we have to get over that and we have to learn first our job is to write a great song. Then we'll figure out how to sing it. So if I'm going to go from that verse, say we go from a verse into a pre-chorus, and I'm going to put some long notes in the pre-chorus.
All right.
Three, four. I can't go home anymore. Can't walk through that door. I got a tunnel down a tunnel down a tunnel. Oh, it's like you're turning me on and thing. So now I'm in the chorus. So what happens is, I think when you sprinkle in those long notes, it's like you're building a little tension and you're waiting for that release of the punchiness of the chorus to come in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the other thing I think it does is we've all got those friends that they're going through some problems. So they just yak, and they won't shut up talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, just and it makes you kind of pull back and you tune them out. And so if your song is just short notes all the way through, I feel like it has that same effect on the listener.
Yeah.
So when you introduce the long notes in your pre-chorus in this example, it kind of leaves a little space in the conversation, you know, for the other person to have their own thoughts, for the other person to interact with the song a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and if a melody is just rapid fire all the time, it's hard to digest all the information coming
right.
to you, you know, so that slowing down can help the listener kind of settle into what you just said, and then they're ready for something else. And if it's all the same, it becomes a chorus, not a chorus.
Yeah, I mean, even in hip-hop, where you have a lot of fast-paced words and stuff, they vary up. They have so much contrast. They will put in long notes, and they will have completely different rhythm patterns between the sections and within the sections. So there's lots of ways to build in contrast. In fact, we've got a course. You can click the link below the video, guys. We've got a course with over 20 ways to build in contrast into your songs. Yeah. So it's a three-week crash course on the Songtown site. It's free if you join Songtown. We do these courses all year long, and we'd love to have you take a part in
it. Yeah, come join us. Number three. Is unexpected or flipped similes or metaphors. Do you remember from English class what similes and metaphors are?
No.
Because simile uses as or like.
Okay.
So you're comparing things that way. And metaphor
is... You're like a dump truck in the night of my heartbreak.
Exactly.
Okay.
Metaphor is just saying something is something. So if you say his voice is gravel, then... you're saying it is that thing. If
or his voice is like velvet.
That's a simile, yes. Yeah. So you could use
like.
Yeah.
But if you say his voice is gravel or his voice is velvet, then it's not a simile.
Exactly. So sometimes you can take, again, words that you don't usually hear together and use a simile or metaphor to create that contrast because by their very nature, those are comparing things. So years ago, my publisher was thinking about working with this artist, and he played him for me, and he said, man, he sounds great, doesn't he? And I was like, yeah, he does. And he put down a picture, and he said, but he's sexy as a hammer. And
so that's a simile.
That's a simile, yeah. So using things like that, it can really be fresh in your writing because, you know, if we use crazy like a fox is something I've heard all my life. That starts to feel like a cliche.
Right.
But if you say, you know, something's crazy as a hurricane or it's crazy as a hailstorm,
right,
then you're comparing things in a fresh way and it causes us to think differently when we hear that different kind of comparison.
Right. So the contrast to me comes into play because you're expecting crazy like a fox, but you put another word in there. And so then your brain is going, it's got these two opposed kind of ideas at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Number four,
let's talk about vertical versus horizontal.
So horizontal melodies are when you're laying down, vertical when you're standing up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, strictly exactly like what you said. So let's go back to your example of, what'd you say, can't go home anymore?
Uh-huh.
I can't go home anymore. Can't walk through that door. So we're very da 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 da. So if we were to draw that across the staff, it would look like notes kind of in a straight line,
right,
rather than notes going up or down. So that's what I would call a horizontal melody. Now a vertical melody. Let's see. Let's play that little phrase that's vertical. And I'm going to contrast it with a horizontal melody in the chorus. So, I can't go back anymore. I can't go back through that door. I'm in it so dun, 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 dun. So now we're climbing up.
Mm-hmm.
Vertically.
Yes, we are. One of the things I noticed in my writing is that if I'm not careful, I limit what I'm writing by what I can sing. And so if I can't hit the notes, I tone down that vertical melody. Do you have any tips or thoughts for people that are in that boat?
Yeah, write the melody the way it should be. Just sing it, even if it doesn't sound great, sing it, play it on an instrument, and then hire a great demo singer to sing it for you.
Yeah.
Now, if you're an artist, that's a whole different thing. Now we got to look at, okay, what are your limitations as a singer? And then let's figure out how to create contrast in 15 other ways so that it makes up for what you're not doing here.
Right. Yeah. So if you're going to sing the song at a coffee shop locally, you got to make sure you can hit the notes. But if you're pitching to artists, there's a lot of them that have great ranges and great voices, so you don't want to limit them by what you can sing.
Exactly.
All right, number five is emotional tension. So the song, I Can't Make You Love Me, the singer is feeling one way, and the person being sung to is feeling another way. And so as listeners, we get to pick which one we identify with. So some people are going, oh, yeah, I was in a relationship where I was really in love with that person. They didn't love me back. Other people were going, yeah, I was in that relationship where I wanted to feel it, but I just wasn't feeling it. And so you give people with that emotional contrast, you give them multiple options of being able to relate to the song.
Right. Awesome. Okay, Marty, we're out of here. We'll see you next time, guys.
Hope to see you in our class.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.